chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We've got five verses today. Colossians chapter 1 or page 1620 in your pew Bible. Colossians chapter 1 or page 1620 in your pew Bible. The title of this message, since we have just had Christmas, is A New Year Starts with God. A new year starts with God. The new year has a way of energizing us. New prospects, new dreams, new plans, and the annual resolutions that we all make to diet, to exercise, to get out of debt, try new things, or get better at something. C.S. Lewis wrote about newness that the central Christian belief is that Christ's death somehow has put us right with God and has given us a fresh start. The new year invites us to think of those new steps, new hopes, and new plans, including gaining a fresh start in Christ. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, the church at Colossae, writes that God has sent His Son of love, and that His Holy Spirit is the one that guides us and equips us to be fresh and to be new. If you found your place in Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 13 through 15. Paul writes, He, that is Christ, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. There's only three parts to this sermon, and I'll give them to you right now. First of all, your life. It starts with God. Your life, it starts with God. If you are going into this new year and have already started, and your life is not centered on God, you've got it backwards. If there is anything in the way, your life is wrong. You are wrong. Your life should always be centered on God. Paul says two things in these verses. First of all, he says in verse 16 that every living thing starts with God. You can't escape that anyway. It's inescapable. Or excuse me, I'm getting ahead. Creation starts with God. Let me back up. Creation starts with God. He says in verse 13 that Jesus, who is God, delivers us. Jesus, who is God, delivers us. Look what he says in verse 13. That he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son of love. Anybody here ever been on an escalator? Raise your hand if you've ever been on an escalator. Most everybody. Do you do anything? You got to step on it, right? But do you actually do anything to get to the top or the bottom of where you're trying to be? That's what Paul is trying to teach us, that creation starts with God, that God is the one, through Jesus Christ, Jesus who is God, delivers us. Whatever it is, whether it's a problem in our life, whether it's a difficult situation, we are delivered. We are conveyed into the kingdom of, out of the power of darkness, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now, as a child, I like to be carried to bed. I like to be conveyed to bed. Another example. It was a great thing to be taken and placed in some place that was comfortable. Before we were with Christ, we were apart from God. We had no hope. We had no help. It is through Jesus Christ. And since it all starts with God, this creation has been in darkness, but it is through Jesus Christ that we are conveyed into the kingdom of His love. We are delivered. We are delivered. What are we delivered from? The kingdom of darkness. What are we delivered from? The past. What are we delivered from? The things that hold us back. In verse 14, we see that Jesus, who is God, not only delivers us, but He redeems us. in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins. Now, park there just a second. If you have ever had something like a gift certificate, especially this time of year, what good does it do to have a gift certificate and have it sit at home? Doesn't do you any good at all, unless you're going to use it online. But let's say it has to be presented in store. It has to be what? Redeemed. When we're apart from God, we are like, if you want to think of it, that gift certificate that is just sitting there. It's of no good. It has a value to someone. We are valuable to God as individuals. But if we are never redeemed, if we are never taken out of the drawer, so to speak, or taken out of, in this case, the slave market of sin, we're useless. Jesus, who is God, redeems us. And how does he redeem us? We enact it every Sunday through the communion, through his blood. And not only does he wish to redeem us, he wishes to redeem the whole world. Christ died for everyone. Creation starts with God. Jesus, who is God, delivers us. Jesus, who is God, redeems us. And Jesus, who is God, is the one who gives us new birth. The Bible says here that he is the firstborn. Verse 15, he is the image of God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, stop right there just a second, and I'll explain something to you. The image of God. That doesn't mean a Xerox copy. That doesn't mean that he was created. It says he's the firstborn, though. What Paul is telling us is that Christ is God, that he has preeminence, that he is fully God. When he says the image of God, he is using a term that means he is exactly God. When he uses the term firstborn of creation, he's giving him power and glory equal to God's. So Jesus, who is God, is the only one who can give us new birth. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Creation starts with God. Now, we're back to my second point. Your life starts with God. Verses 16 and 17. For by him all things were created in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. What consists in Christ?
All things.
All things. When you get discouraged, when you get disheartened, when your life is falling apart, remember, no matter what, all things consist in Christ. Every living thing starts with God, Paul says, and all things cohere or consist or hold together with God. Isn't that beautiful? I know who holds the future. I know who controls the universe, from the greatest star, the greatest quasar, the greatest part of the galaxy, down to the tiniest atom. And now scientists are telling us there are things that are potentially even smaller than an atom. And God is part and in control of everything. Paul means in verse 17 that if you follow Jesus with all your heart, your life will find Christ at the very center. It's got to be a passionate pursuit of Christ. Dependence on Christ involves him holding your life together and giving it purpose. Does your life, as you face a new year, have purpose with God? What does your life start with? There are three elements in your new life, starting with God, that God gives you to face a new year, a new life, and to know that your life starts and ends with God. Number one, there's peace. There's peace. I think it's interesting, excuse me, that every new president that rolls around has a peace plan. Every one of them. No matter what stripe, no matter what party affiliation. And world leaders are interested in peace. People themselves are interested in peace. Everybody would want peace, right? Yeah, we want that. We don't want to step out of the door and get hit with a brick or worse. We want peace. True peace, ladies and gentlemen, can only be found in Jesus Christ. And true peace can only be found if your life is centered on Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying there are not going to be storms in your life. I'm not saying there are going to be easy days, that there won't be disappointments and difficulties. But it's sure better to be at the eye of the hurricane with Christ than in the center of the storm with Satan. Paul mentions peace in Colossians 1:2. And in Romans 5:1, he tells us that we have peace and access to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And real peace starts with Him. The second thing that we're offered in our new life, and it's starting with God, is deliverance. Deliverance. Now, I'm not talking about that crazy 1970s movie. I'm talking about real deliverance in a time of trouble. In Colossians 1:13, Paul talks about deliverance. Christ has rescued us through the cross from sin and darkness, and deliverance starts with God. If we were not delivered, there would be no hope. We cannot be good enough. We cannot do enough. We cannot feel enough emotion to make it to heaven on our own. Deliverance has to start with Jesus Christ, and He's done it. He has delivered us. We don't have the strength, we don't have the wisdom, and we don't have the purity of life to deliver ourselves. Deliverance is through Jesus Christ. And there are countless millions out there who need that deliverance today. The third thing that God gives us in our new life with God, Paul is praising clearly God's creative work for forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness is a difficult thing sometimes, isn't it? We see it in families. We see families torn apart by lack of forgiveness. We see churches torn apart. Well, I'm not going to talk to her because back in 1932 she looked funny at me, or something ridiculous like that. Forgiveness is in short supply. The world says, you know, you've done something to me, or I think you've done something to me, and I'm just going to get you. That's not Christ-like attitude. Because we have peace with God, because we've been delivered from the slave market of sin, we should practice forgiveness. We have been forgiven of more than we could ever possibly forgive another human being of. Where would we be without the forgiveness that Christ has extended to us? Where would we be without the shed blood of Christ? Where would we be if Christ's forgiveness didn't motivate us to forgive others? Forgiveness heals. Forgiveness is a balm. Forgiveness is a unifying factor. And forgiveness starts with God. The third and final point in verse 18, the church, it starts with God. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Paul has a heart that is centered on three things: God, people, and the church. Christ is the head of the church, and He not only desires the supremacy, the headship of the church, but He is entitled to it. In the new year, think of this church. Think of the plans, the programs, the ministries, the madness of the schedule we may have set for ourselves, the celebration, the jubilation, the worship, and the things we do. Now, if you think about all that, you're bound to think of someone who annoys you, aren't you? Afraid so. The music might not be exactly what you like. It might be too loud. It might be too soft. And I'm not picking on music, okay? This is an example. Someone that you go to church with might have done something. But you know what? It's not your church. It's Christ's church. It's Christ's church. Let me say that one more time. It is Christ's church. Ephesians 5:25 tells us, while he's talking to husbands, he gives us a very important clue. The Holy Spirit says through the Apostle Paul, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This is Christ's church. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's the Lord's church. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's not ours. It's his. This is his pulpit. It's not mine. This is his sanctuary. It's not mine. And when you get down to brass tacks, if we are not worshiping Christ and him alone, then we're doing it wrong. That's the first point. It's the Lord's church. The second point, the church, it all starts with God. God is calling his people to serve him through the church. We're to serve him through the church. That doesn't mean potluck dinners. That doesn't mean painting a sign or doing something like that. But as part of a body of believers, we are called for this specific time, this specific place in 2012 to reach those that have no hope, that have no God. We're not called to be a sauna for saints, but a hospital for sinners. We're called with an important task. God is calling people to serve him through his church. Why is that? Because we owe it. We owe a price we cannot pay to him. Third thing, Christ is to be supreme, to be preeminent, as Paul labels it in Colossians 1:18. Christ is supreme already in all things, but in your life, is he supreme? In your church, is he supreme? In your heart, in worship, in ministries, in attitude, in service. This past year has been one for many of us that has had financial challenges. We've seen disasters, job layoffs, crisis in families' lives. And who knows what this coming year will hold? One thing only, is important for this church: to trust Christ and to serve him as the one and only supreme God. Are you weary and worn out from the holidays? Are you worried about this new year? Are you wary of people? I'm not sure exactly who you can trust. Are you overworked and woeful and in an attitude of despair? You can have a new year ahead. Let Christ give you a fresh start. Creation starts with God. Praise and thank God for it. Your life starts with God. Ask God to lead and guide in your life this year. Serve and trust him with all your ability and trust him to bless you for it. Everything starts with God. Your new year starts with God. Happy New Year. Lisa comes to play our hymn of invitation. Take My Life and Let It Be, hymn 388. It starts and it ends with God. Sometimes we throw up roadblocks in the middle. Get it right today. Get it right. Please stand and sing hymn number 388. His name abroad, for it's in His name.